Hey guys, on this episode, we talked to my man Jake Newton. This guy is unreal. He's a professional hockey player playing in Finland right now. He's from California. He's my boy. We talk about the mind, the soul, the Untethered Soul book. We talk about professional hockey and living abroad, mental health, dealing with your past trauma, dealing with pain. We talk about parenting. We talk about the problem in the U.S. with prescription drugs. We talk about loving your life. We talk about getting through shit. We talk about your opinion ruining your actual experience. We go pretty deep. This guy is a very, very, very smart dude. And he's real similar to me where he doesn't mess around with like the mental health kind of stuff. He loves it and he wants to help others the same way that I do. He's a great dude. Hope you enjoy the episode. This is episode number one. All right, let's go.
Curious.
One time.
Is it still recording?
Yeah,
we're chilling.
We're chilling. We're good to go.
I should make sure that my thing is on Do Not Disturb, so that way.
But anyways, this one particular one was just loaded with ginger, so I was just getting boom dosed.
You love ginger?
Yeah,
I like ginger too.
Yeah,
ginger is such an acquired. It's an acquired one.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, yeah.
I remember back like a couple years ago, my sister was like eating. She ordered like a ginger salad,
yeah.
Straight ginger. And yeah. I honestly ate one of the pieces and was like, it tastes like Clorox.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Now I can eat it. Now I can eat it and drinking it like in smoothies and shit. I fucking love it.
Yeah. It's good. Even I was having when I was starting to get sick a little bit, I was just eating it raw. Right. When I would wake up in the morning, just always try and do it on an empty stomach. And
What was that? What was the fucking... onion thing that you were doing, like how did that? I saw you eating raw, just a straight up onion every morning for.
No, so that wasn't onion. That was garlic.
Garlic. That's what it was. Garlic.
Yeah,
I don't know which one's worse, but that's still not great.
I would have to say the garlic's worse because of how spicy it is. But man, yeah. it was miserable. I did it three times total. I told myself I was going to do it for a week. I don't know why a week, but that's what I said. And I stopped after day three because I was literally, if I would have done it again, I would have for sure thrown up.
Yeah.
like for sure. My mouth was starting to get, you know, that watery sensation you get when you feel like you're going to throw up soon.
Yeah.
Had that. And man, I was just like, what am I really doing this for? Like, okay, this is great. I know it's really good for you. But I'm already healthy. You know, I was more or less maybe just doing it to be crazy.
What was the reason? Like, you just read some shit that said.
Yeah, so I read, and again, it was at a time where I was getting a little bit sick, and I knew that this is super good for you. Garlic is, you know, all the health benefits to it. And so yeah, then I was reading about doing it on an empty stomach, and I already do certain things on an empty stomach, and I just wanted to try the garlic, but man, it was tough. It was a strong, freaking burn from your throat. Or from your mouth, actually, all the way down into your stomach for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Oh, it was just mental toughness at its highest level right there.
Well, that's because you're a primal warrior. You're an absolute killer.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I did that. And I did a thing with onion, but I wasn't eating it. I was cutting it up. And then putting it on the bottom of my feet and then putting a sock on and then going to bed, sleeping with
that's
that.
That's the other one that I saw. That's, yeah. Dude, what?
Yeah.
Run that. What was the benefits of that one?
Yeah, same thing. There's, you know, a lot of the reflexology, all that stuff in the bottom of your feet. But anyways, this is, it was just about detoxifying your body again. And onion itself is, I don't know if it, is it considered a superfood or not. I'm not sure, but obviously super duper good for you. And it also purifies the air. So I did that on the bottom of my feet. And then the rest of the onion, which I didn't have it on the bottom of my feet, I just left beside my bed. And again, around the time that I was getting a little bit sick. And
does onion not smell bad?
Oh, of course it does. Yeah.
So you just walked around smelling like an onion for a couple of days?
No. My room smelled.
Your room.
My room did. I was worried about my feet, but then I was going to go to the rink anyhow and be playing hockey. So that smell would be captured by the nasty smell of the hockey skate. Yeah, just blend right
in. Honestly, people might probably be pumped about it.
Yeah.
Bro, what cologne is that?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. An onion, yeah. I mean, I love onions, so I don't mind the smell, but it's the garlic that actually, if you eat so much of it, you'll start sweating it out through your pores. And then people notice it then.
Dude, that's France. That's a lot of people in France.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I love about you, though, dude. Like, you don't give a fuck about...
No, I don't.
You just don't care. And you don't... But in the best way, though. I don't mean, you care about all the right things, and you just don't care about stuff that shouldn't matter.
Or that, unfortunately, a lot of people do care about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
I guess let's introduce each other here.
Yeah.
You want to introduce me, or I'll introduce you?
Or I don't know.
And I'll introduce you.
Yeah, you want to do? Yeah, you take it. This is like
I'll take this one here. Yeah. You fall to the back. I'll take this one up front.
Boom! Heck right, baby. You know it.
This is my podcast. I don't know what to do, what I'm doing with it, but I'm just having fun talking to people. The person that I have on today is Jake Newton. He is a professional hockey player. He's playing in Finland right now, ripping up the top league called the SM. Is it pronounced Liga?
Liga, yep.
Liga, or is it just Liga now? It might not even be SM anymore.
It is, but a lot of people here in Finland still call it the SM League.
Okay.
Liga, yeah.
He's in Liga. He's now with a new team that is called Yip.
Mm-hmm.
And before he was with the team Kakuvala.
Kovala. They're in Kovala, but the team name was Koko.
Koko. But okay.
For us English speakers, you might pronounce it Cuckoo.
Yeah, because there's two O's, right?
Yeah.
K-O-K-O. Yeah. And Jake's from California. I played with him. I had the pleasure of playing with him in Ontario a while back.
Yeah, what is that? 4 years ago now.
Four, dude. That's like
five.
It's gonna be more than four. Five.
13-14 seasons.
Yeah. So five years ago.
Crazy.
He's from dude. I hope I know this. He's from San Jacinto. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I know that.
That's the right name. Wrong pronunciation, though.
What is it?
That's a silent J, buddy. That's San Jacinto.
San Jacinto. Is it really?
Yeah.
San Jacinto.
Yeah.
He's just an overall great dude, like one of the better people that I know in my life and I talk to constantly, especially while we're both in Europe.
Yeah.
Playing and traveling through life and exploring who we are. And he's also really, really, really into the mental game like I am, into the mind, into now really into the soul,
mm-hmm.
which I myself am super into and diving headfirst into that, and just a fucking awesome dude. And I've been wanting to talk to him on here. Well, we've talked a couple times, but we've wanted to record it.
Yeah,
exactly. We've never recorded it, and no. I'm sure that we'll do a ton more. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're just an awesome dude to talk to. But yeah, that's Jake Newton, and he's coming to you live from Yip, Finland.
Finland.
God, I almost said Sweden.
So no. So yes, the team
in the
name,
pure darkness. In the pure darkness.
Yeah, but it's getting a lot better now, man. It's getting a lot. And I've had like five or six straight days of sun, which is out of control. It's unreal. But it's also been 5 or 6 days of just complete freezing temperatures, minus like 22, minus 23. Wow. Still very cold. But so going back to the team name is Yip, but it's in a town called Jyväskylä in central Finland here.
Okay.
But just switched to the team here. Also, thank you for having me, buddy. It's I know it's gonna be the pleasure is gonna be all mine. Because you yourself are one hell of a guy, and like you said, we've had many talks, but none of them have been recorded. And I see this being the first of many.
Yeah,
conversations about anything and everything. Like you said, really into that spirit, like the mind, the soul, the spirit, diving headfirst into that book. I don't know if you're finished yet, but The Untethered Soul.
I'm not, but we will definitely talk about that.
Yeah, I think I had a feeling that's probably what we'd be talking about. But yeah, that book, it's a life changer, in my opinion, a mind changer. Yeah, and Frick, like you said, here we are both in Europe, right? Living far, far away from our families, and have many reasons to get down and be down about, you know, life. But I think for the most part, you and I are pretty solid guys and stay positive pretty much in all aspects of life. And I think that says a lot about us as people and us and where our minds are. Because there's a lot of people that are over here, right, guys, either with family or without family. It's just a hard life. It's a rewarding life, but it is more difficult being away from home and the, you know, conveniences that go with being at home, and you don't exactly get those here in Europe. So
if you're a family person, it can be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you are somebody that just is trying to travel and see the world, and you have a girlfriend that's coming with you and doing it with you, or you go with a couple guys that you can play with.
Yeah,
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And I would recommend it for everybody. But there's almost like a fine line between you wanting to live that life and you having to do it by yourself.
Yep.
or having to do it with a team that's not going particularly well, or in a tough city.
Right.
So it's kind of like almost luck of the draw.
Yeah.
In a way.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
In a lot of cases. But I think the overall experience of Europe, you do hear more guys be like, fucking loved it, a great experience. You don't hear a lot of people say it was a terrible experience, because I think it's a lot of people grow from it regardless.
Right.
But exactly like you said, man, it gets, if you're a really family-oriented person and you don't have somebody living with you, a lot of those leaves can be tough, because like not a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the time difference is, fuck, that's the one thing that's real tough.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest, not the one thing, but that's probably the hardest thing.
Yeah. Cause your family's all back in Arizona, right? So that's what, 9 hours?
Yeah. So everybody, my family's Arizona. My girlfriend's in California, which is 9. So it's like, they wake up, I'm going to sleep. Or they wake up and I'm in the middle of my day. So from like my lunch to my dinner is when I get to talk to everybody.
Right.
And then I go to sleep, and literally the second that I wake up, I'll call my girlfriend, call my family, say hi, and they're going to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, it takes a lot of kind of like work to maintain it all.
Oh, for sure. And I remember when I had, you know, my kids and everything all back in California, but this is actually the first year for me being alone here. And now they're on the East Coast, Cleveland. So they're only 7 hours behind, but you know, so I only get one chance a day to speak with them, and it's in the mornings as they're getting ready for daycare. It's chaotic. So I'm lucky if I can get 10 minutes, of talk in with Nash and Harper. That's my son and daughter. Yeah. And it's not every day, you know, some days are going better than others, but my time is, yeah, like, whoa. 1:15 to 2 o'clock my time here in Finland, which is 6:15 to 7 their time. But I don't get those 45 minutes of talking with them. Like I said, I'm lucky if I can get 10 minutes. And it's funny though, my son, anytime he'll have the phone, he always just tries and hang up on me. So
wait, why?
He's just a boy. He just wants to be a little bastard, and so
thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, he thinks it's funny.
Just being a little shit.
Yeah, and then so I don't talk to him too often. Actually, it's more just with my daughter. She's older. She's 4. Very intelligent, and so we're actually able to have, you know, conversations and everything. But it's funny because every time we're talking, the phone is just pointed straight up at the roof, but she thinks I can see her.
Oh my God. My little sister's the same way, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like holds the phone like this.
Yeah. Down, yeah. Like yeah. Exactly.
Or my sister will hold it like right in front of her. She'll hold it right in front of her, like right in front of her face, two inches away.
Yeah.
Okay. Man.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, going back to the whole being in Europe thing, it's, of course, there's so many good things about it, but everybody, you know, you talk to maybe that are outside of hockey from back home, they think it's just so glamorous and glorious and all this. And it is in a lot of respects, But we're not here just visiting, right? We're here living everyday life for, you know, 8 months. And so it's just the day-to-day life, the struggle of, you know, holidays, being away during the holidays and things like that. I was fortunate enough this season to be able to go home for 8 days around Christmas time. I still missed Christmas, but, you know, it was nice to be home for those 8 days. But, man, poof, just like that, I was back on an airplane, you know, flying over the dang ocean again. But yeah, you know, it's an experience that not a lot of people get to do in the world. Definitely one I'm grateful for. And again, you know, able to play this game, the game that I love, and provide a you know, a good life for my kids. So,
yeah, that's, and that it is a, like, as much as we say, as much as we can say like bad about it, it is awesome. Like, we aren't talking bad about it. Like, we love it. We love it. But the downsides of it are, for people that are kind of wondering, like, what it is that we actually do. Like, you can look at Europe and it looks beautiful and it's a great place to go travel to, but we're not really here traveling.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it, like, coming, like, even the city that I'm in, which is like 20,000 people, on a postcard and in pictures, beautiful. Right. So you come here for, you can go for 2-3 days and it's fantastic. And like, my family was here and they loved it.
Yeah.
But once the kind of novelty of a city wears off and you're like, you know what, I'm here for, fuck, I've only been here for 3 months, but I mean, most people are there for like 8 months. What, have you been there 8 months?
Yeah, I've been here since July. Like, you
know, 8 months can wear on somebody when it's, it's just so different, you know?
Yeah.
It's so different. It's a different culture, a different lifestyle. And like you said, so far, holidays are tough. Holidays are really tough.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we could probably go right from this straight into talking about the mind and how, you know, like I said, you and I and every guy or girl or whatever that's here, you know, has many reasons to get down and be down. And a lot of people do get down and stay down by being over here. But I think, you know, like I said, you and I have a, you know, a different outlook on life, a different perspective on life. And of course we're going to have moments of being down, you know, but I think through that book, and you're almost done with it, I think through that book, I'm not attaching myself to that emotion, to that feeling of being sad. And I'll catch myself kind of slipping into having those feelings of, you know, missing my kids and just wanting to be home. But then it's crazy how so quickly I'm able to grab that and realize that I'm not that emotion. I'm not that feeling. And it's almost instant that I snap out of that little rut, kind of dark place I was potentially going.
That's a skill, man. That's a huge skill that you have, that you're able to do that, because that's essentially like the best thing that you could have going for you in life, is to be able to not attach yourself to your thoughts, right?
Well, exactly. And yeah, I mean, frick, I think that's what we should do. Yeah. Talk about this book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. I've posted about it on my Instagram. I don't know if you have.
Yeah.
But I know you have in your Instagram stories, but yeah, I've said it many times before and I'll say it again. That is a book that I believe every person should read. But before you read it, you need to get yourself into the right place mentally, because it can be a lot to handle, a lot to process. And if you're not in the right, mental state, you might just put the book down and not read it any longer after a chapter or two or three.
Yeah. It's kind of like you said, you have to be prepared for it, and you almost have to have somewhat of a grasp on that kind of language,
right?
Because, He does kind of dumb it down in some aspects, where he'll tell stories or tell like examples, but a lot of the stuff that he's talking about, the general gist of it, is pretty far out there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I mean, if I would have read the book 6 months ago or a year ago, I would have probably been like, yo, this is a lot for me.
Yeah.
Same with my girlfriend, but I'm happy now that I'm kind of, now that I've kind of got more of a grasp of it and wanted to know more about it. Like, exactly. if you go into it and you're like, okay, this is something that could help me. And I think you could watch some of his videos on YouTube and be like, dude, this is stuff that's, it makes sense.
Yep.
The videos really help on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
But yeah, you can definitely go into the book and be like, first couple pages, shit, man, like, what the fuck is this? I mean, God, gotta get rid of this.
Yeah, I actually had a teammate of mine, the last team I was playing on, Coco. I told him, you know, we had a nice little conversation, one pregame meal, just him and I were talking, you know, I was telling him a little bit more about myself and the things I've been through, and he kind of opened up to me a little bit, and, you know, and I had opened up to him about our past and things like that. But anyways, I told him to get this book. I believe that's a book he should read, and he had already got it. He was just getting ready to start reading it. And he actually said, man, I can't read that book anymore after I don't know how many chapters. He's like, man, that book is, that book is fucked up. And I, you know, I don't see it as that. I see it as what it is. It is truly deep. It makes you think a lot about truly who you are and your emotions and your feelings and your mind and the voice of the mind. But if you really just sit back and think about even those videos on YouTube, if you just think about what he's saying, it just, to me, it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you know, like I've said that, or he says, you are not the voice of the mind. You're just the one that hears it. That right there, if a person could just believe that, I think, a lot of their, you know.
Well, that's, I think that's the bottom line of the whole book.
Yes.
Is that's you, it's more what you're not than what you are.
Yep.
And what you're not is your thoughts and the emotions that come up. And if you can grasp that, like even just hearing that, it kind of sounds a little bit out there.
Yeah.
But if you can just, if you are able to grasp that, then the whole book will make sense to you, because, and your whole life gets turned around. Like, holy fuck, man, for me, because I spent so much time in my life diving into the mind, like I was always really, really into the way that I work or people work, or like, why do I think this way? Or why does he act that way?
Yeah.
And I dove so far into my mind that I like became so attached to it.
Yeah.
And then now reading this book and realizing that like, you're not your thoughts and stuff like that. You're not your emotions that come up. You're not the things that you, the tendencies that you feel you need to do or that you're attached to. None of that is really you.
Right.
It changes your life because it gives you like an option in every moment, in every second of your day. You have an option to go the high route and connect with your higher self or be like the best version of you, and let that negative lower version of you go.
Yeah.
Or you have the option to follow that energy that comes up, follow that like shit that happens, and see where the fuck it takes you. And a lot of those thoughts can feel really powerful, and just being able to detach from them.
Yep.
It's the best gift that you could give anyone.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, you know, the negative stuff that comes up, and in the book, it talks about, you know, a lot of what has happened to us in our lives, you know, from a childhood standpoint. You know, a lot of times when those things happened, we didn't deal with them right then and there. And then that problem was no longer a problem and we moved on from it, right? What happened is we stored that memory or whatever, the emotions that went along with it, stored that deep down inside. And now here we are as adults. And when anything happens that might trigger that, you know, that memory or a certain feeling you had or an emotion or a pain or something, now those thoughts start coming in. Most of the time, right, they're negative, right?
Right.
So in that book, it just talks about trying to deal with that, you know, freeing yourself from that pain, freeing yourself from those past experiences that are just crippling you now as an adult, and you're just living a life of suffering, you know?
Because you think that it's the way that it has to, that it's supposed to be. And it's like you said, those like blockages, I think he calls them.
Yeah. Blockages.
Yeah. Is like, you know, something happens to you when you're a kid and all of a sudden you run from that the rest of your life, like run from that, situation and try to avoid that situation, for the rest of your life. And it doesn't dissipate. It doesn't leave. It just builds and builds and builds and builds. And you keep trying to hide from it and avoid it.
Right.
And really all you had to do is just realize that you don't need to keep that emotion within you, and you can just let it go.
Right.
And when you kind of start to do that, then your whole life starts to kind of seem brighter and everything opens up. And, but the tough thing is those emotions and stuff,
those blockages, they come in as thoughts and feelings.
Yes.
So you go into like that, you go into this situation, and in the situation, the first thing you feel is, I feel scared. I feel anxious. I feel worried. Yep. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fuck up.
Yep.
Or on the opposite end, she's going to leave me. He's going to leave me. They're going to win. Like all of this, all of the really negative stuff that comes in, and you feel like it's you.
Right.
And really, it's really not even the problem from anything in that moment. It's something in your past that's kind of affected or triggered in the moment that is coming back up. And it's not even you. It's not even something that you have to attach to, or you can totally let go in a second. And that's what we were saying. You get that option to let go of it. Right. Or to follow down that rabbit hole and see where it goes.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely.
It's tough, man. It's a tough practice, but it's so rewarding. So rewarding.
I couldn't agree more. And it's funny too. I don't know. I can't remember if he talks about it in the book about the preferences we have in life to you know, like and dislike. You know, I like the rain. I dislike the rain. I like it when it's sunny. I dislike it when it's sunny. And because you don't like the rain, because you don't like the rain, if it's raining out, your whole day is messed up. Your whole day is completely fucked. You can't recover. You don't want to go to work, and it just sends you down this terrible, you know, path or terrible train of thoughts. And yeah, your whole day is fucked because of one outside factor. You know, something from the outside world is affecting you so deeply on the inside. And that's the problem too, right? Is, you know, we all, not all of us, but a good majority of the world has all this pain inside, and so we do, or they will do anything and everything to make the outside world so perfect to not hit those little sensors or whatever inside to trigger those emotions and those feelings, right? So you do everything you can to just make the outside world what you want it to be.
Control it,
right? By doing certain things or not doing certain things, being with certain people or not these people. And yeah, it's just crazy. It's just not a good life, in my opinion. It's a life of trouble, of misery, of suffering, of pain. And the best part is knowing that you have the choice, right? You don't have to live like that, but you also have to be aware of it. And that's another issue, right? Is that so many people in the world are just so unaware. They're just walking through life almost as zombies, and they have no idea, you know, how they're living. And you know that
you're not taught to. That's what surprises me, is like, why isn't that kind of stuff taught more to kids, like when they earlier in life, to just realize that you're not those emotions and those thoughts, and you can detach from them or like not recognize with them, because it literally can save your entire life of suffering. Like you could go down one of those holes when you're a kid, you get bullied or something like that, or get called a name, mm-hmm. and it hits you to your core, and you avoid that the rest of your life, and you could form your entire life around that one event that happened.
Absolutely.
Or like you said, you have the choice to let that go and recognize that that's not you, but nobody's taught that, right? Like, and I didn't know that shit until six weeks ago when I started reading this book.
Right.
It's like, man, if I'm thinking it, it's me. If I'm feeling it, it's me.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
And yeah, once you like are able to detach from that feeling and recognize that you're the witnesser, or that you're like in the seat behind it, just seeing it all.
Yes.
It's a pretty crazy thing to experience. So the second chapter, he talks about your inner roommate, right? Your being, being the thoughts and stuff like that.
Yep.
When I was reading that, I started thinking of a different, like another theory that's like kind of easier to explain. I haven't got it like completely down pat, but I texted you and was like, yo, I want to write something about this. I just don't know exactly the way to do it. But I was thinking like, he says like in the book, just observe your thoughts for a day or a week or whatever. And so what I did was I literally went around and just like, I did my whole normal day, but I was conscious and like watching and thinking about like, yo, if everything that I'm thinking was a person right next to me, like how would I feel? Like, So literally everything that I'm thinking, I leave my house, I walk on the street. Oh, there's my car. I parked. Fuck, I got a ticket. Oh my God, I'm going to be late. Where's my seatbelt? Like, how do I plug it? All this shit. And I was just thinking about like the having a person right next to me saying all that. And within like an hour, I was like, dude, this person's fucking nuts. Like, it's like, yo, yeah. This person is insane.
Yeah.
And so when I started, the one way for me to really kind of see it all, because it's almost hard to see, to stay conscious and recognize when you, with those lower emotions like anger and fear and stuff like that, I started thinking about it as not just having one roommate. I started thinking about it as like, you live in a house, which is you, your person is inside of this, your mind, right?
Yeah.
So you live in a house with a ton of fictional characters, right? So characters from movies, and the characters represent different emotions, right? And yeah. So you as yourself right now, before you're conscious, is the person that is going and agreeing with every one of the characters and hanging out with the characters, and anything that they say, you're like, I right there with you. So for example, you think an angry thought, and really it's not you that's thinking that thought, it's the character that's inside of your psyche. Mm-hmm. That is playing that emotion, right? So it could be like, mine was like a cartoon. It was like that fear from the movie Inside Out or whatever,
yeah.
or anxiety from the Inside Out, or like all of these emotions. And the one that I had constantly in my head that was living in the house that of my psyche is Dory from Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Like just yeah. always commenting on shit.
Yeah.
Always like always talking about the dumbest shit ever that doesn't make any sense. And you don't need it. It's so like, it doesn't help you whatsoever. It just comments. Like, oh my God, that light's a little bright. Should I turn it down? Should I turn it off?
Yeah.
Why is this drink here? Why is it like just everything?
Yeah.
And you don't even need it. But if you can sit there you do it for 2 days and you sit there and you just start to, like, I started writing down the characters that I would notice so much, which were like a lot of like, obviously Dory so much, and then fear, and then like anxiety or worry or whatever, or like a know-it-all, just someone that like thinks that they know everything.
Right.
And once I sat there for like 2 days and started every one of these thoughts, recognizing that it was a person outside of me.
Yeah.
Dude, you're able to let them go so easily. Like you just can observe. And when you have that thought, like, holy fuck, like I feel really scared. You literally can look over and picture like Dory or whatever the character is saying that next to you. And all of a sudden you don't identify with it and you can release it. And you just go like, okay, that's not me. That's not who I am. That's this emotion. That's this character that's in my psyche that's been here forever.
Yeah.
That I never let go. Right. Like, so I was like, okay, so you have these characters in your house that have moved in throughout your whole life. You've brought them in. They've moved in. They've been staying there. Some have gone in, some have gone out, and you can let these characters that are inside your psyche leave this house of yours, your mind. You can release them, but the way that you release them is by not hanging out with them so much and yeah. attaching yourself to them. You just kind of don't pay attention to them, or you just kind of look at them and just say, you do your thing, I'm going to be okay over here, and then eventually they move out.
Yeah, boom.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, maybe that's a little bit of an easier way to think about it. I don't know if that makes sense scientifically or metaphysically or whatever, but.
Yeah, that to me sounds unbelievable, actually. Scientifically, I don't think that's, I don't care about that.
Would this even be considered about science?
No, not at all. Psychologically.
Psychologically, there we go.
Yeah, no, that sounds actually unbelievable to me. Yeah, I think it is crazy too. When you think about it, you going back to what you said about, you know, why weren't we taught this kind of stuff when we were younger? Well, A, I don't think people, okay, maybe that's not the right thing to say, maybe knew that back then. Of course, there was all the yoga, the spiritual stuff has been around, you know, for such a long time. But I think the problem is that a person, you know, will say that they're depressed or they have high anxiety or they're bipolar or they're this and that and this, all these different types of mental illnesses, right? And so the first thing they think, or the first thing somebody will tell them, oh, well, you need to go see a doctor. Okay, yes, that's great. Let's go see the doctor. But as from what I'm reading and seeing on other podcasts is that the doctor only has 10 minutes to be with you. So right. The doctor's not going to get down to what's truly wrong with you, right? And so what's going to happen? They're just going to write you a prescription and you're going to go and take that prescription, and that prescription's going to, you know, fix you, your mind, for 5 days, 10 days, a month, 2 months,
mask
whatever.
It, mask it.
that's exactly it. It's going to mask the issue. So, like I've said before, and I also heard Joe Rogan say it as well, that, you know, he talked about just America, but I think it's the whole world. I think the whole world has a mental health problem that is just masked by prescription drugs.
Is it in Europe and stuff like that? Are antidepressants and shit like that handed out just as much?
I don't know
the statistics at all.
I don't know the statistics either. But I do know that there is this stigma behind just talking about things, talking about experiences and talking about feelings and emotions and things like that. And that's just common around the world, in my opinion. You know, like us having this conversation, some people might think it's weird or crazy or different, and it is, but it's just completely normal. It's just two people having a conversation. But people are so afraid to talk about their emotions and things like that. And so they'll just take these drugs and they'll feel better.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not fixing the actual issue, which I don't believe a pill, a chemical can do that. You can fix it. Of course, there are some things that are outside of that, you know, that are far worse than just depression, which I'm not saying is not bad. It is, of course, but I believe, you know, a lot of it can be dealt with this kind of stuff we're talking about here in this book and what it can do for you, to just declutter your mind, get your mind right, and just quiet the mind, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And you, in US, I think that a lot of the doctors probably just are like, how easy is it for me to just kind of write this kid off as a, like, here you go, take this antidepressant. Like, yeah. I was on anxiety medicine and antidepressants for three, four years.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my answer. Like, you know, a doctor told me that I had anxiety. Like, I got anxiety. That's it. I got it. And, or doctor told me I'm depressed. Doctor told me that I have a chemical imbalance and that this will help it.
Yeah.
And so the kid walks in and you don't know that the doctor like could have just had, that doctor could be hungover. That doctor could have just walked in the office 5 minutes earlier and he's kind of flustered and you walk in and this is the biggest moment of your life. Cause you're telling him like, doctor, I've been fucking really, really struggling. Like, oh my God. Like you're wondering what the fuck this doctor is going to tell you is going to dictate the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And he tells you, you got something like schizophrenia or like, bipolar or like something like, what's the multiple personality disorder or something like that? Or like OCD or like just even something as standard as anxiety. Like he just tells you, yeah, you know what? You got anxiety. Like here, just take this medicine and everything should be good. Come back in 6 weeks. And you leave there and that's what you think is the problem for the rest of your life. Hey, doctor told me I got anxiety. Like that's it. I got anxiety. There we go. That's the answer. That's the answer for it. When really it's so much deeper, and it's probably a lot less harmful on your body or on your brain or your mind or anything or your family to just kind of like look deeper and be like, what is it? Like anxiety is caused for a reason. Like there's something that it's triggering inside of you. Like that we could at least explore and like look into and see like what the problem is. And man, I went and got diagnosed with anxiety and took antidepressants for 3 years. And then last year when I was in Russia, I was taking them at the beginning of the year and like, I just kind of woke up during the year and was like, dude, these fucking things that I've been taking, like they're not doing anything for me. Like it's just been me. That's been the problem. Like I've been scared of myself or scared of whatever it was. And I was on them for 3 years and I got off of them in about a week, like way shorter than I probably should have. And I didn't feel anything. Like I didn't feel any kind of withdrawals. No withdrawals or anything like that. I just was off of it. And since being off of it, like, now with like you were saying with this book Untethered Soul, like it's able to show you that you're not your anxiety and the really one way to step to get rid of it isn't to get completely rid of it, it's just to kind of change your relationship with it and kind of like view it differently and view it as that person that's inside of you that's not you, but is like just been, has just got affected by something that's happened in the moment.
Yeah.
And if you kind of can personify it and not look at it as you, you're able to just kind of like almost just like brush it away and just say like, all right, it's okay. Like I'm over here. I'm chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
Do you have we talked about meditation?
We haven't. I mean, right now we haven't, but I think
I listened to your podcast with,
Matt.
I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Matt, and about you guys talking about it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do it like every day. And the thing is I remember my very first time meditating, I was, I had already started reading this book and everything, and I don't know if it's the book's fault, but I got there the very first time, like I said, and the first time I just wanted to sit there, try and quiet the mind, which I don't think you're supposed to do. But what I wound up doing is just trying to listen to my mind. But it was unbelievable how literally the very first time I did it, I just sat there, I did some breathing techniques and closed my eyes, and I went in my room, or I was in my room, and there was nothing going on in my mind. Like I had to literally force myself to think things, because I was just sitting there and I was breathing and I was, counting, or not counting, but I was just kind of listening to my breathing in, breathing out. And I was just like, okay, where are the thoughts? Where is it? It's not happening. Okay. Yes. I would hear a car go by or something. But again, like I said, usually you do that and you're just going to start thinking about a million different things all at once, or one thing. Yeah. And then, you know what I'm saying? And I was baffled. I was like, this isn't right. And so, and so I don't know if from that moment, I did it for the next few days, and I still do it, but not as much as maybe people think I do, because again, I'm very aware of my thoughts on a not every single moment, but pretty close to, all minutes of the day. And so that in turn for me is almost kind of like meditation. I'm always aware, exactly. Yeah. So again, one thing that Michael Singer talks about is, keeping things in perspective too, that, here we are, we're just, one person on this planet circling, in the middle of space, Yeah. So meditating, I do it, yes. But again, like I said, I don't do it so often, because I feel like kind of daily I'm already doing it, just going about my life.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that don't quote me on this, but I think honestly, meditation, what it's training you to do is to just be in that state all the time.
Yeah.
That state where you are observing your thoughts and stuff. So for you reading the book and kind of just maybe skipped the whole like practice that you needed of meditation to get to that level, and you kind of just went from 0 to 60 and are able to observe and stuff, which is unreal.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm all the way there, of course. I've read the book 2 times, and I'm going to read it again. And, I listen to his like, he'll have like 20-minute segments on YouTube. I think I told you, yeah, there's like 8 of them. Yeah. I don't know what you would type in, just, maybe Michael Singer Untethered Soul on YouTube, and they'll pop up. And, I listen to those, and, I don't think I heard it from him, but I heard it from somebody. I think it was when I was back on my motivational speaker. I was so hard into that before I started reading this book. Yeah, we can
talk about that too.
Yeah. I was listening to Les Brown. And, love that guy. And I was loving that guy. I was so high on him, and I was listening to him every day. And then I heard him say one time that your subconscious mind is the most aware the first 20 minutes that you're awake. And so typically every morning, right when I wake up, the first thing I do now is I'll pop on one of those Michael Singer segments and just put it on. I'll stay in my bed and just have that on and just try and fully listen to what he's saying, not allow my mind to drift anywhere. So again, that could also be considered a form of meditation. So for those that, like I said, those first 20 minutes, I'll just listen to him, and then I get up, and then I just, do whatever I do. But that book, man, it's just, I don't know what to say. There's not enough words that can describe how fucking amazing that book is.
There's really not. It's been the one, one book that's kind of like hit every kind of note that I've needed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's, it's almost like I've been searching for something like that book for so long. I just never was able to find it.
Yeah.
And then it just came along and I was just like, wait a minute. That's the answer that I've been looking for. Like every chapter, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's the way it is. Like, shit. Like, I intuitively knew this, but I never could put it to words. I didn't know what the fuck my mind was thinking or where.
Yeah.
I thought I was my thoughts. I thought I was that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been great. But back to like what you were saying about the motivational people, because I was really on that fucking tip too. I was on like, and I still love them, like you said. Like Greg Plitt is still one of my favorite speakers, and like Greg Plitt, Les Brown, E.T. Yeah. the Hip Hop Preacher. Yeah. I listened to them like every day, all day for probably 6 months while I was in Russia. Like hardcore.
Yep.
Could remember all of the stuff they're saying, like memorize it. Yeah. I was saying it. Yeah. I was going and saying it to people. Like someone would say like, dude, what's going, like, how are you doing so good over there? I'm like, you gotta want it, man. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you
gotta, I remember.
You gotta remember. Fucking die for this. Like,
yeah,
I'm up at 5 a.m. Like, just, you know, hardcore. And I did that the whole, like, I took that into my summer too. Like, I was writing on my mirror every morning, like, waking up and looking at the mirror, and I had it written on it, like, fearless, like, intense, warrior, like, just never, like, don't quit, all that stuff. And like you said, I think it's awesome. It's like a shot in the arm kind of thing where it'll pump you the fuck up. If you let it hit you to the core, it'll pump you up for X amount of time. But it's kind of like the same thing as taking that dose of the antidepressant. It's a mask for like something that's way deeper. And some people can sustain it for a long time. Like they can listen to that raw like motivation type shit and use it for X amount of years and keep going with it and like it could build a career off of it and stuff. But for most people, I think you do it for like a couple months, and then after the couple months you're like, wait a minute, like I'm waking up and I'm listening to this guy talk every morning, but it's just I just don't feel like excited. Like I just don't feel like I'm able to get through my problems today. And it's because you never really took care of the problems.
Yeah.
You just kind of threw something that looked fucking shiny on top of the problems.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that led me into the whole spirituality thing. Like when I was really, really into that motivation shit was when I was dating my girlfriend and then we broke up, and then someone told me to get into spirituality, and then I was like, oh shit. Like it just kind of clicked, like, yo, this motivation type stuff has been kind of giving you that energy drink every morning, but it hasn't really like changed you to the core of who you are.
Right. Absolutely.
You haven't dealt with a lot of the stuff that you need to deal with, which I know you love talking about, because I think that's the bottom line of almost everything, is dealing with the pain and the stuff that you have inside, that if you're willing to get through on the other side of that, it's pure fucking love and bliss and enjoyment.
But
you got to go through that pain first. And I guess that actually goes back to the motivational people, because I mean Greg Plitt was saying like literally pain, everything you got to do is go through pain. But if you look at it from a spiritual way rather than like I got to go run through that fucking door. If you look at it like from a spiritual way and you're like, look, all right, like there's a lot of stuff that's been like tucked away deep inside of me that's gonna come up, and I gotta let it come up, and I gotta just let it go and not wonder why and not like dive into it more, but just release it.
Yeah,
that's where you find the bliss.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, so I was, you know, on this whole kick as well. It was 5 months ago, 6 months ago, and I was in it, man. Like I told you, I would wake up and that's the stuff I would listen to. Eric Thomas, Les Brown, Tony Robbins, Jake something anyways. And now being where I'm at mentally, I almost feel like what they're saying is great stuff. Absolutely. But there's more, like you said, there's more to it in my opinion, and obviously your opinion as well, than just flipping that switch and going into beast mode. Or you can, and it's going to give you what you need to get to the gym and work out for a week, 2 weeks. But I feel like for the most part, the people that go to those, you know, go and watch them live, or the people that really buy into that stuff, are people that are in pain, kind of mentally weak people,
or looking for a quick fix.
Exactly. So they're gonna get that motivation that they need to go to the gym, or to sustain something for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a year or whatever. But then eventually something's going to happen in their life that's going to knock them down, that's going to bring up some pain, some suffering that they've experienced from their past, and they're not going to know how to handle it. No motivational video from Eric Thomas or Les Brown is going to, you know, get you to push through that. It might, again, just mask it, right? But it's not going to deal with the actual problem. And if you deal with the actual problem, I don't think you need all of that hoorah stuff. You know what I mean?
No. Well, because I think when you deal with the problem, I think it's like you're not creating a new image. You're just getting rid of everything that you weren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So like you're just uncovering the real person that you are.
Right.
Without the trauma and stuff like that. And that person that you are doesn't need to be inspired every day. It doesn't need to get up and get going every day. It just does.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think too, like the people that are going to buy into that stuff are, in my opinion, the same people that do these New Year's resolutions. And to me, that is just a load of shit. Because what happened when that fucking clock clicked to freaking 12:01, the new year started? What happened in that exact moment that you are going to wake up a whole new fucking person, and that New Year's resolution?
Dude, I'm
going to
be such a better person this year, bro. Like, dude, yeah. Tomorrow, starting January 1st, man, I'm new. New year, new me.
New year, new me. And I'm just like, okay, yes, for a week you might have that New Year's resolution, and that's why January 1, everybody's at the gym, right? And then January 2, it's a little bit less, and 3 and 4 and 5, and not just the gym, but in all aspects of life, people make resolutions for everything, right? But again, what happened at midnight that something in you just switched and you're just going to automatically change and become a whole different person? It's not real. Yeah. That's not sustainable. You know what I mean? But what is sustainable is this stuff that we're talking about, this book, and clearing your mind and dealing with your past issues so that you can live your current life and your future life in a much, much different place.
100%. Can we just touch on other things that are quick fixes? It's like a lottery ticket. That motivation type stuff is same thing as like going on like a 2 week cleanse, or a 2 week diet that's going to change you in 2 weeks, or like doing some new crazy workout that you're going to do for a month that's going to change your whole life.
Yeah. None of that.
You got to find something that's sustainable for 12 months, for 2 years, for 5 years. Like, that actually changes you.
Exactly. And the only thing that's sustainable is you, right? Nothing from the outside world is going to, you know, be sustainable, because from the outside world, what can make you happy can also make you unhappy. So yes, okay, you win the lottery, you've got $500 million. That is not going to make you happy. It's going to give you the ability to buy whatever the hell you want and go wherever the hell you want. But at some point, again, something's going to happen. It's going to trigger something that happened in your past, and you're fucked. You're completely back to square fucked, you know?
Yeah, because you got to be happy. You got to be at peace with yourself.
Exactly.
And then the funny thing is, like, once you get to that point where you are happy with yourself and you love yourself like unconditionally, or you love yourself enough to where you'll start looking around and you won't feel the need to even have any of those things. You'll be like, I don't even really need the lottery. I don't really even need that fucking juice cleanse. I don't really even, like, I'm fine with just exactly who I am, and it's sustained.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And man, there's so many things that go into it, right? Like, that people don't think about, that people aren't aware about, and we can dive into this now or we can do it next time. But even just, like you say, diet, and, in my opinion, diets don't work. Diets are something that you might start day one, but come day 10, you're already off of it, or even day two. To me, it's just a lifestyle change that is what is sustainable, you know? I actually did start a diet.
And what's the difference between just a diet and a lifestyle change?
Well, I think a lifestyle change is something that's going to obviously,
like, you're going to just switch up the way that you eat forever.
Yeah, that's what I think.
As opposed to dieting, like just I'm going to do this for X amount of months and then come back to eating shit.
Yeah, so what I mean, right. You know, a lot of times people, yeah, they want to lose 10 pounds. So they'll go on a diet that they think is going to work and it's going to help them to lose the 10 pounds. And they do it and it's great. And then, yeah, then maybe they just switch and they're just right back. You know, but if it's a, to me, I man, at the beginning of my career, I ate whatever the hell I wanted. I thought I, you know, was in shape and I wasn't. I was 228 pounds. I was well over, you know, I was probably around 15% body fat. And I was with Anaheim at the time. And the guy told me, the training guy said, strength guy said, if you're not below 10%, you don't have a chance of making this team. And I was like, holy, okay. Now I need to start figuring something else out because I work out just like everybody else does. But what am I eating, you know? And now, like I said, I started with the South Beach diet. So I went on that diet. This was 6 years ago. And I got to where I was wanting in like 2 weeks. And then I got off of the diet and just kind of took the premise of the diet with me. And that's just kind of where I'm at now. And not now, that's where I went after that. Now I'm on more, you know, vegan type, dairy free.
Yep.
But again, that is more sustainable than just, you know, doing it for X amount of time to get to where you want to be or where you think you should be. And then what, you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
Because all often people will say, oh, this diet didn't work for me or that diet didn't work for me. I don't believe any diets work. I just believe a lifestyle change.
Because you don't work for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the diet that's not working for you. It's just you're not happy with you need to just figure out yourself.
Exactly. Eating better, being active, you know, and then, you know, what I was trying to say, I kind of got lost, is that with the mind, what you eat affects your mind as well. And so I was watching this podcast with Joe Rogan, and he had the scientist on, this guy that wrote a book called Non-Conventional Medicine, and then also wrote a book on conventional medicine. And he said they're starting to find direct links to depression that actually starts in your gut.
Starts in your second brain.
Yeah, exactly. Your gut health is now somehow, you know, something happens where it goes through the stomach wall or something like that. It goes in, gets into your bloodstream and it attacks your mind. And now they're linking it to depression. And so if people
70% of your serotonin, I think that's the number, 70% of your serotonin is in your stomach.
Yeah.
Is in your gut.
Yeah. Crazy. And, you know, so people, that too is such a major factor in the mind is what you put into your body, you know, and what's that saying? You are what you eat, and you literally are, you know?
Yeah.
So, if you're out just eating McDonald's every single day, you can't expect to ever feel good physically. And you're certainly, in my opinion, not going to ever feel good mentally, you know? So like I said, we don't have to dive all the way in on that right now. We can save that for the next one.
It's totally true though. And I completely agree that you need to do something that's more sustainable. And I don't agree with people or with the quick fixes to anything in life. I don't think there's really a quick fix to anything.
No.
I don't think there is. I think you got to go through, you got to be willing to go through whatever it's going to take to be able to reap some kind of reward from, or feel some kind of satisfaction from anything.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's sad though. You know, in that podcast that I did with Matt, you know, we talked about mental health and, you know, the stigma around talking about, you know, your pain and things like that. And, all too often, I think people don't want to deal with their pain, deal with their problems because they have to talk about it and they're afraid to cry. They're afraid of the opinions of others. And it's hard, man. It's difficult. I went through 3 years of mental therapy, sometimes two times a week for 3 years. And, man, it was a fucking grind, man. So much crying I did. Yeah. It was not fun, but I made it. You know, here I am. I survived that, you know. And that helped me to deal with the pain I have from the past, the things I've gone through. Which is just kind of, you know, led me to that book. Again, here we are back talking about the book. But again, you know, mental health is such a fragile subject. And I think it is because of people and not wanting to talk, not wanting to deal with that. And unfortunately, the opinions of others they're scared of, and they care too much about what other people think about themselves, think about them, you know, which is sad in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. It sucks to see, the state that our our whole country, maybe the whole world, is kind of in
the world, yeah,
just like consciously so like broken. I think America is a perfect example of just like just everything getting to a point where it's coming to a head, where it's got to either go one way or the other. And it's sad to see, because like, look at what's going on in the US right now, and that shit kills me, seeing like the fucking shootings and stuff like that happen every other day.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem with guns. It's just a problem with the collective of people and where everybody's at emotionally and mentally, and the state of our society right now is destructive.
Absolutely.
And I think like the big part of it is there's such a huge lack of empathy. Like people don't feel comfortable. People don't feel welcomed. People don't feel like part of a community, part of a country.
Right.
Like you go to a lot of these other countries where shootings and stuff like that. I mean, that's basically every other country, but you go to a lot of the other countries, they all got pride, like a lot of pride to be part of that country. You know, like if something happens, you don't see a lot of shit within the country, you know.
Right.
Someone fucks with the country, then the country goes after the other, like they go after the other person. But but within your own country, it's almost like a family. And in the US, it's so divided right now.
Yeah. It's crazy,
man.
It's
so tough. And it trickles down. Like it always starts at the top, always trickles down, and now it's like the youth is just getting worse and worse every year, and there's more mental health problems in the statistics say that I think 80% of these kids that are doing the school shootings are on antidepressants, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a deeper problem. Like it's the kids going home every night to a parent that doesn't care for them. He's going to a school where he doesn't feel welcomed. He's hanging around people that he doesn't feel like he has a purpose in life.
Right.
And so he wants to find some kind of way to get recognized and get noticed, and it's a mess, man. It's not good, but it's totally a direct like sign of our country, of what fuck's going on.
I agree, man. And you know, I saw the thing you posted about after that, those shootings there in Florida, on your Instagram about you know, everybody just wants to kind of, it was kind of based around people want to just point at guns, but it's not the guns that are the real issue. The real issue is, like you said, the emotional health of people. I think you said something kind of like that. And, you know, everybody, I think that too would just be an easy fix, right? To just, you know, ban guns and you have complete overhaul and nobody's allowed to have guns. Okay. But then in the end, people that are going to be doing those things are going to find guns anyhow, or they're going to find another form of killing people. What is the real issue though is the person. And you said 80% are on antidepressants, right? But of those 80%, how many of those people would have still done those same things if they were just able to go in and speak with a therapist once or twice a week and really deal with their real life issues instead of just putting this person on this antidepressant, which is just not, clearly not helping them, right? Because here they went and they went, wound up killing a bunch of people. You know what I mean? So it's so simple for me, in my opinion, to just say, yes, ban guns. You're not allowed to buy guns anymore. But it's much deeper than that. So that too, you could also say it's just a quick fix. Of course, in America, it's way too easy to get guns. Of course, I know that I'm not agreeing with the laws that are in place, but man, let's look at what's real. And what's real is the mental health problem that's in America. And like you said, it's all over the world, but in other parts of the country, it's terrorists that go into those countries and are, you know, doing those bombings and things like that. It's not usually, you know, here in Finland, it's not a Finnish person that's going out and killing everybody or killing people, you know, it's outsiders. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we just want to kind of tiptoe around the real problem, you know, and just put a, you know, people are saying let's ban guns and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, let's fucking really talk. Let's have a real conversation about what's really going on and deal with it that way, you know. But I just don't see that happening, unfortunately.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think it's also in sports too. Like I think the mental health problem in sports is progressively getting more noticeable.
Yeah.
In particular, the contact sports or the very, very masculine sports.
Yeah.
Like you're just, society's changing into a more sensitive or more feminine, like, just that's the reality of it. The whole society is kind of switching over to be more conscious and more like in touch with themselves.
Right.
But I think that like the sports, the contact sports are still kind of requiring that hardcore masculinity or hardcore intense aggression and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think that it's starting to like really wear on people, and you're seeing guys like with these the guys in the contact sports that have to go out and portray like a certain role and be fearless and have no emotions cut off from the sensitivities. And then you see years later, some of the stuff that's happened, like suicides or like serious depression for possibly never actually being open with how you feel about yourself or how you feel about what the fuck's going on in your sport or with the way you have to play. Or I mean,
yeah.
Dude, you make a living being somebody that fights, or somebody that runs people over, or in football is like somebody that's just known for being crazy. And you start making a good living doing that, and all of a sudden you start realizing like, yo, I don't want to be this. I don't want to go fight every night. Like, I want to, you know, I want to enjoy my life. I actually love people.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm making so much money. Like, what do I care about more? My providing for my family, or do I care about like being able to enjoy myself and enjoy this life? And I'm sure when you're put in that position, I'm sure it's a fucking tough position to be put in.
Well, yeah. And like, you think about the mental part to, you know, say some tough guy, some fighter or some big, you know, linebacker, you know, Junior Seau, you know, or Ray Lewis, these guys that, man, they were so damn intense when they played. Could you imagine, you know, what it would do to them mentally if somebody were to see them, you know, going in and speaking with a mental therapist or something like that? You know, this persona that they have may have been dulled down a little bit.
Which is supposed to be indestructible.
Yes.
Flawless, like impenetrable, like just like Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Boom. You know, and a person, a man, or in my opinion, not a man, a guy, a boy would not do that for those reasons, because they cared so much about what these people might think of me if I went and did that, you know? And yeah, it is, it's terrible. It's, yeah, like you said, in sports and in life, right? But yeah, in sports and, you know, with all this Bell Let's Talk stuff going on back home in North America, Canada, everywhere. Fuck, man, I would love to be involved with that somehow.
I don't really know exactly how that works or what that is, to be honest.
Well, yeah, so I think I told you a little bit. I had heard about it first just through social media, and Mike Babcock is, I guess, really involved with it. But it's, I think, Canadian Bell is a company that started this charity. And it's, yeah, just all about mental health and, you know, just getting people to talk, and it's okay to talk. And I think it's great. I don't know how I could get involved. I would love to be involved. I think, unfortunately, in the world we live in, that these superstars, these NHL guys or NFL guys, you know, the guys that play the major sports, for some reason, they are the ones that get these nice big platforms, right, to tell their story. But they are, you know, I guess you could say part of the 1%, right? There is the 99 other percent that have a story, too. And I believe that I'm a part of that, and I would love to somehow get my story out and be involved with this Bell Let's Talk stuff.
So do they go around and do events or anything for Bell Let's Talk, or is it just a hashtag and then they donate money after the hashtag's retweeted a certain amount of times or something like that?
Honestly, I don't know exactly how it all works.
I don't know either, but I would love to do something towards mental health, that wasn't like if there was something out there like that. I know my buddy is doing something in Toronto.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly the way he's doing, but man, I think mental health. I think mental health, but I think like I would define it more as emotional health, or emotional well-being.
Yeah,
of people. That's what I was saying. I want to do after hockey is work with hockey players and people just dealing with their emotions and trying to work through their emotions and stuff like that. Cause fuck, it's something that seems so taboo in hockey. Oh, yeah. It's like, dude, you have emotions? Like, stop being a pussy. You know, like, you, what you feel, you're like feeling like down because of that. Like, don't let it bother you, man. Just forget about it. Like, yeah. Tuck it away.
Flip the switch. And that, right?
Flip the switch, man. Like, you got to be a beast. Like,
yeah.
We got a game in it. We got a game in a day. Like, don't let that fucking get you down. Whatever. And then all of a sudden, like we said before, all the way back, it doesn't dissipate. It just builds. It builds, and you don't deal with it, and it builds, and you don't deal with it, and all of a sudden you're fucking 35, and another situation comes up that triggers it, and all of a sudden it's your marriage.
Yeah.
And you're like, where is this coming from? Well, it's coming from that fucking shit you didn't deal with when you were in the locker room with your boys.
Yeah.
That you were like, oh, I'll tuck it away, and it'll be gone.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know how it works. But again, you know, I believe in just continuing to do these podcasts, and people are listening. You know, I've done the two there with Matt, and we're going to do another one. And on that one, I'm going all in, buddy, on me and my story, more than just about hockey. I'm going to dive into that, the mental parts, the things I've gone through in my life and the experiences that I've had that have sent me one way when I probably was headed in another direction, but led me to doing the things that I'm doing now. And, you know, I have a relatively good following there on Instagram, and I think that's only going to build. And if my story can just help one person, then obviously, you know, that's doing something pretty good. And I get lots of messages now, which is kind of cool, on Instagram, people asking me for advice and things like that. So it's,
I think you are highly, highly under, I don't even know about rated, because I wouldn't even say rated, but I think that you have a great ability to talk to people and to teach kids and stuff like that. And the stuff that you post is hugely important and hugely helpful. And I would be surprised if you're, I'm surprised right now that your Instagram and that the stuff that you talk about hasn't been more widespread, but I think for sure it will be. And I'm happy that you're doing shit like that, because I know that it will just keep getting better.
Yeah. I think it will be. And thank you. Going back, fuck, what was I going to say? Can't remember. Oh yeah. Going back to what you were saying about what it should be called, mental health or emotional well-being. And I believe that right there is the solution to the world.
So you do know, I, 100%.
You know, that's the solution. So if we as humans, and we as, you know, members of the world, members of society, can really just hone in on that, I think that's where we go if we want to see some real change in the world, you know. Because honestly, you don't see any happy people going out, you know, people that are truly happy going out and doing these mass shootings. It just doesn't happen. You know, it's people that are in pain and they just need help, you know. And like you said, in some ways that's a cry for help, but in most cases they wind up just killing themselves after, you know. And then, anyways, even if they didn't, they'd be sent in prison for the rest of their lives, and they wouldn't receive any amount of help anyways. Or maybe maybe they would in prison. Who knows? Yeah, man, it's a crazy world. There's a lot of crazy fucking shit that goes on, and yeah, people just need to not look at talking as, like you said, being so taboo, or being the stigma behind it of you're not a man. Like you said, you're a pussy if you talk about your emotions. You know, you always got to have your chest popped out, your head held high. And that's just not real, man. It's not real, and it's okay to just fucking talk. You know, but it's hard. That's for sure.
Well, I think there's a huge problem with masculinity in the whole country. Like,
yeah,
just the way that it's defined, just the way that it's perceived, what you're supposed to be and stuff like that. That's exactly what we're just talking about. Yeah. I think that, and I totally agree, man. I think that mental health is, I don't know what when I think about mental health though, like, I don't necessarily think, I think more like concussions and brain trauma. I think more maybe like when I think about emotions, or like, how would you even say, maybe feelings? I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that. Then I think more like, yo, that's a serious, like, that's something that we need to fucking figure out. I guess they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess they kind of go hand in hand, but.
But I think, yeah, I think, you know, it's obviously linked to the NHL, I would think. So then, you know, there is that sports behind it, but I don't think that's obviously what they're trying to do with it. I think they're talking more about just life, you know, not just mental, like not concussions and not things like that.
Is that what Bell, is that what the Bell Let's Talk stuff is?
I want to say it is, because then right after that story on Paul Ranger came out, and I think it was directly linked with that. And his story was a story about him and his depression that he dealt with, or it is still dealing with. So I believe that's what it is. And then I've seen other things, you know, on Instagram of the Bell with the hashtag Bell Let's Talk, and it's centered around, yeah, talking, just talking, working through your, like we've talked about on here, I think talking, working through your pain, working through your suffering.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's a huge part as a parent too, is like letting your kid know, like, yo, you can come and fucking talk to me about whatever, and like, I'm here for you, and we'll get through it, or I'll help. Right. And not just like saying it, because you don't actually trust just words. You feel more off of emotions and off of actions. So like literally like actually embodying that as a parent, like, yo, if my fucking kid is dealing with something, like I want to help them, and I'm here to help them, and I'm going to, that door is like open. 100%. And I want that to be like completely clear.
Yeah.
Because like my parents were fucking great. I love my parents to death. But I know people around me, especially as a hockey player, like if they were dealing with shit in the locker room or getting bullied or getting hazed or getting any kind of shit like that.
Yeah.
They'd be worried to go and like tell their parents, because they wouldn't want to look like a pussy or look like they got shit going on. They can't handle it themselves. They're soft.
Right. You know? Yeah, soft. That's such a heavily used term. And in hockey, at least, you're soft. You're soft. Yeah. Crazy. But what do you think, buddy? Fuck, we've had a good little run here. We've been some good talks here, good convos, baby.
That's hour and 20 minutes. You got to go, or we keep going, or what are you thinking?
Well, it's getting late for this old man here.
What time is it over there? Are you an hour ahead of me or two?
Yeah, I'm 9:30.
All right, bro.
But I'm not saying we need to end it now, and I wasn't even saying all that to end it anyhow. We can keep going for an hour. I don't care. I was just more or less just taking a step back, and you know what? We've had fucking. Good conversations.
I think like me and you, the way that we talk normally is it kind of just flows, just because we're really on we're on different like paths, obviously, but we're in similar spots.
Yeah, mentally.
Yeah, we think very similarly. We like read a lot of the same shit. We look at a lot of the same stuff. We both play the same sport, and right. I think like. I've had a serious, I don't want to say serious, but I've had like a problem my whole kind of life, not my whole career, as like being this hockey player that was too sensitive or too deep or too like, you know, I almost felt like misunderstood all the time, just right. because I was a hockey player when I was at the rink, but I also felt like I was an artist. I also felt like I was, like I would make music and stuff like that when I was gone. I also felt like I was doing acting and stuff like that, and but I would go to the rink, and I would feel like it was all wrong to do. Like you're a hockey player, and you're a fucking hockey player, and that's it. You're a hockey player.
Yeah.
You know, you're nothing else. Like you're definitely not a spiritual being. You're definitely not a fucking. You're definitely not a psycholot, like a whiz of the mind. Like you are a hockey player, and you're gonna fucking block shots and run through people like a train, and that is it.
Yeah.
And I always was like, you know what, I love that and I really enjoy hockey, but like I leave the rink and I feel like there's just more to life.
Of course.
Like there's more out there for me. And maybe it worked against me because I felt like almost misunderstood, to where I stopped loving myself as much as I needed to, and felt like it was my fault. And I was like, well, maybe I need to just be a hockey player, and I put all this other shit aside. But the reality is there's probably a lot more kids like that feel like, yo, there's more to this, that if they like understood, like, yo, that's okay to feel like that. And it honestly can help you in certain situations if you deal with it the right way. I feel like it could help a lot of people.
Yeah.
So just going back to what we were saying, like, yeah, me and you are both totally in the same kind of mindset, on the same boat, like headed the same direction, which is cool. And there's not a lot of people that I think are doing that the same way that we kind of are in our sport.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I, like you said, obviously we have good conversations, and I think part of that is the fact that yes, we're on two different paths, but when it comes to a mental place, I think we're on the same path. And I think that's why it is, we get into deep conversations like almost instantly, you know, okay, we'll have our usual, what are you doing? How are you doing type things. And then, some, yeah. You know, and then we'll get into real stuff. And yeah, it's great, man. It, but yeah, like you said, unfortunately, but I think this stuff is like you said, the society is becoming more sensitive and opinions are getting out there more. So like you said, unfortunately, it's not too many people are doing it in this sports or in all sports or in life, but I think it's starting to turn the other way, or at least that's the way it seems. I hope that's the way it's going. I mean, here we are, we're having this conversation, you know, 20 years ago, we're not having this conversation. You know what I mean? Hell, 10 years ago, I don't think.
Because it's not acceptable, not because the iPhone wasn't even out.
Well yes, because it's not acceptable. Yeah, the iPhone. But yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy, but man, it's enlightening once you're able. And again, I'm not speaking as though I'm there. I'm all the way there, and I've mastered.
Oh God, you know, like, me too. Fuck no.
I would love to be at Michael Singer's level. But that's years and years and years, man. What all the stuff that guy's done, and he's obviously much older. But I believe you and I were on that path, and we'll get there eventually someday. And I'm also actually reading his second book. It's not the first book at all. It's called The Surrender.
Surrender Experiment.
Yeah, The Surrender Experiment. And I was going into the book thinking it was going to be like The Untethered Soul, but it's not that.
Which
at
one
all.
Comes first? I thought The Surrender Experiment was before, was it not?
No. That's the second. Yeah. So like I said, I went into it thinking I'm getting another dose of The Untethered Soul, but it's not. It's more about his journey, his story, and how he kind of put an end to his preference on like and dislike, and he just truly went with the flow of life. And you know, if somebody asked him to do something, his mind was telling him no, but he believed that there was a reason why that person asked him to do it, so he said yes. Not in every aspect of life, but these major things that had a major impact on him and his life. So again, like I said, it's not like it was with The Untethered Soul, so I haven't finished the book yet. It's taken me a little while. I'm getting a lot from it, but I'm not getting from it what I got from The Untethered Soul. Yeah. But I'll finish it up here soon. And then I'll go probably back to,
Is it as like, dense as Untethered Soul?
No, like I said, it's not The Untethered Soul at all. It is truly just about him and his journey. And he tells, hell, you know, I had no idea until this book that he, started some programming, internet programming for medical companies. And
yeah, WebMD. You didn't know that? Oh man, you know the website WebMD?
Yeah,
he was part of the company that founded WebMD.
Yes, he had no idea about any of that, man. Like, and it talks about, you know, he has this temple in, is it South Carolina? Anyways,
I didn't know that.
Massive, like thousands and thousands of acres, and it's a temple, and people can go there. You can go there and you can do yoga and do all this stuff. But that's where he started all of this programming. And he said, you know, in the book, it's just randomly somebody would come and join his sessions he would have teaching yoga. And the person would come up and introduce themselves, say what they did. And the person that he needed to help his programming business advance, boom, that person just appeared in his life just randomly. You know, he didn't ask for it.
No way.
You know, it's just, it's crazy, man. And random acts of people donating money so they can build another building on their land. It's just, I mean, it is crazy. But like I said, I'm not getting from it at the same level as I got from The Untethered Soul. They're two different books in that respect. But certainly one I would suggest reading, but you know, for you, of course, but don't go into it thinking you're getting
the Untethered Soul Part 2.
Right.
You know?
The cool thing I think about that dude is that he has managed to do all of this shit while still living a normal life. He has a wife, kids, yeah. granddaughters now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that for me, a lot of the time, my mind is like, yo, you need to go off on this spiritual path and go live in a fucking mountains and do all, and I'm like, you know, like, as cool as that sounds, I think that that's just my ego trying to be like, this is the way, this is the way. Well, man, when it's,
then read the book then, because that's what he does. He does that. He starts off doing that, man. He would fucking drive down to Mexico in his, he was living out of his car. He was right. living out of his car, teaching a class at some university. And then, you know, during the summer, this one summer, he drove down to Mexico, deep down into Mexico, and found himself in an empty field. And he stayed there for a week just doing yoga and meditating for hours and hours on end. And so he started to go down that path of just thinking that's all he was going to do. That's the only way. And like you said, now he's living just a normal life, right? He owns all these businesses, and he stepped back and realized that he didn't need to always be right. doing that, you know?
That's what he said on that's what I saw him say on have you seen the Oprah interview?
No, I haven't watched that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so Oprah says something like, well, you know, for all of us that like want to have this spiritual journey, like we still have normal lives and families and stuff like that. And he was like, or she was like, we don't have time to just go away and run to the mountains and move to Tibet and stuff like that. And he was like, well, I'm here to tell you today that you don't need to do that. As a matter of fact, don't do that, because that's what I did. And you don't need to go and be by yourself and do all this. You can actually do it right now where you are, exactly where you are. And it just starts with you detaching from your thoughts.
And being aware. Yeah.
Being aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a, man. I would love to meet the guy. I'd love to go to his fucking temple.
He's a legend, man. That guy's fucking he's a awesome.
Legend. He is a legend.
Like 5 weeks, I've been like, dude, this guy is unreal. Like, just seems so happy and just seems like, he just seems like a great dude.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody told me once that somebody they knew went to his temple and they were there and they said it was just unbelievable.
It's a non-religious temple?
No, man, it's not religious. That's just what he calls it, the temple. No, it's not really, it's a spiritual place. You go there, he teaches sessions. I believe he's still doing it to this day. He'll have morning and evening sessions a couple times a week. He was doing it every day, but, you know, once his businesses started growing and growing and growing, you know, he got away from doing it every day. Now he does it maybe Friday, Sunday. But you're able to, I believe you're able to just show up and partake. You don't, you don't have to pay or anything that I'm aware of. But that would be pretty dang neat and eye opening, I'm sure. Mind
that would be. You want to do that this summer? I'm in, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Or
we're doing it. Right. That would be unreal, man.
Yo, I have these questions here. I was thinking about this idea because I don't have like so many people to talk to on my like podcast right now since I'm gone and all that shit. But since you can talk to people like over the phone through Anchor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, and let me know if you think this would work or you can give me an idea off of me. I wonder if I was like, yo, I'm going to talk to, I want to talk to like completely random people and just ask like 10 questions. So whoever's willing to just have a conversation with a stranger, like message me, your email address and I'll send you a link or something like that. And then just call a completely random person and just ask them 10 questions that are like semi deep, maybe not like crazy spiritual because you don't know what you're going to get, but just like semi generalized, semi deep questions and just see the answers you get from random people.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be cool or not. What do you think?
I want to be a part. I want to be a part of that. I think that would be
cool, right?
That would be unbelievable, man. And who cares about what you get? You would get, you know, who knows what type of responses you would get.
Well, that would be the interesting part. You wouldn't know who the fuck you get. Some people that are just, you know, they just got home from the club and you get some people that are like maybe like gurus.
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's unbelievable.
See, but yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I got a couple more ideas that are hanging back there. I'll tell you about as you can give me some confidence on. Yeah.
Confidence antlers.
But I don't know what kind of questions I asked. So I Googled like a while ago. I Googled like maybe a couple years ago. I Googled like interesting questions to ask just while you're talking to somebody, random conversations or whatever.
Yeah.
And so let me know if you think these questions, you might, you know, honestly, I could ask you a couple of them and you could answer them and then say if you think that, if you think that it's an interesting question.
Here we go, baby.
All right. Let's just see. All right. Here's one. What are the things that stand between you and complete happiness?
My mind.
That's a fucking great answer. That's a fantastic answer.
I think that's it. I don't, nothing else.
But I wonder what some of the answers would be from people all over the world.
From the unaware.
It'd be my boyfriend. It'd be my
money.
Money.
A pizza. Yeah. A new car.
All right. Okay, here we go. If you lost everything tomorrow, whose arms would you run into to make everything okay?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, you're talking to the right guy, I think, to get the right answers myself.
That'd be you?
I'd run to my own arms, yeah.
Well, the next part of that question is, does this person know how much they mean to you? It's a little self-love.
Actually, let's go back. If you say lost everything, what is everything? Literally everything lost. So my kids, I don't have my kids anymore.
That's a little deeper then. I don't know. I'd say first maybe like just materials, all your money. Lost all your money.
And ask me the question again then.
If you lost I'll rephrase it. If you lost all of your money tomorrow, all of your assets, all of your material wealth, whose arms would you run into to make everything okay?
Yeah, my kids. Then.
Your kids, right?
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Do these people know how much they mean to you?
Yes. I believe. Maybe not Nash. Maybe they don't understand.
He's hanging up on you.
Yeah, he's hanging up on
you. But I would say they do, man. You're an awesome fucking father. That's unreal.
Funny. But then I'll also answer how I perceive the question is everything. I lost everything, so therefore I didn't have them to run to. I would then, yes, look to myself for the answers. In saying why I would run to them, I would run to them to let them know that everything's going to be okay. I'll figure it out. But it would then come to me figuring it out, you know, so it would come from me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
But you would go comfort wise to them and then you would come back to you to actually figure it out and stuff like that. Yeah. All right. Here's a good one. If today was the last day of your life, what would you want to do? I think I know the answer to this one too.
I would just want to be with my kids.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
But you think about some of the answers that I might get from a complete stranger.
Oh, buddy, yeah. How pretty many? Interesting. Pretty interesting.
What would you change about your life if you knew you would never die?
Wow. What would I change about my life if I knew I would never die?
I don't know.
Man, that's a doozy of a question.
What would you change about yourself if you knew you would never die? If I knew I was never going to fucking die, what would I do? I don't know. I don't know either.
Because I instantly then
What would you? What are you not doing now, because you're going to die?
I mean, I stopped chewing tobacco because A, I had kids, and so
I would do all the drugs in the world. I would smoke cigarettes every day. I would.
a part of myself just said I would just fucking crush whatever type of food I want, but then I wouldn't do that. Man, I don't honestly know. That's a tough one.
I don't either. I don't either. All right, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. We'll keep going. I can't even ask all these to you because you've crossed over that. You've transcended the caring of what other people think or what what most people would answer. What would you do differently if you knew that no one was judging you? See, I think you're already doing most of it.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I'm not 100% perfect at that. And so that's all, you know. But yeah. Yeah. I would have to do some hard, long thinking on that.
This is a deep one, too. Listen to this. Are you holding on to something that you need to let go of? What's stopping you? I mean, you don't have to answer it.
I don't know if I'm holding on to anything, but if I was, what would be stopping me then I would believe it would be kind of what we touched on from the book, the preference of like and dislike. But what am I holding on to?
Like a grudge maybe, or like, I don't know. I think that would be like what it's asking for.
Yeah, grudges. I don't have a grudge against anybody.
When was the last time you tried something new?
Fuck. Oh, meditating.
Back there we go. A few months ago. That's a good one.
Yeah. What was it, like 4 months ago, 5 months ago? It's the first time I did it.
That's just huge. I love meditating. I think it's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one for you. This is a perfect one to ask you. I would love to ask this to some other people, though. What is the difference between living and existing?
Being aware.
Being fucking aware. What drives you to be better at something?
That's something. I think, mentally.
Kids.
My kids, of course. Yeah, they are my motivation. They are my why. Eric Thomas, find your why. They're my why. So, yeah. My
Eric kids. Thomas, find your why. Isn't that Simon Sinek?
Maybe it's
start with why.
What's your why?
I could see Eric. What's your why? That's Eric Thomas. Yeah, I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Here's one that I thought that's not on the list. If you could say something to your 16 or 20-year-old self, what would you tell them? One thing.
Oh. You said 16 or?
Let's go 16 first. Say high school. High school self.
Ooh, 16. Then I would tell myself that everything's going to be okay.
20?
Wake the fuck up. Wake the fuck up. Or stay in school.
That would be the piece of advice to give your 20-year-old, wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
But what if it wasn't, what if it was not you? What if it was, just another 20-year-old.
Probably the same. I was 20 years old. I was just floating through life, living in all the wrong ways. I hadn't dealt with my pain at the age of 20. I hadn't dealt with my stuff from my past yet. So I was just coasting through life, unaware, with the wrong sense of reality of what life really was. So wake up, and saying that, just be more aware of your actions, of what you're doing. Take better care of your body, take better care of your mind. and I would say that then too, yeah, to any 20-year-old.
There's some good answers, man.
Yeah.
Pretty good questions though. Hey, is that too bad?
No, not at all. But yeah, it would be funny to get a drunk person on these questions.
It'd be pretty interesting, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
God, maybe I have to run with that idea.
Yeah, I think so. Or a guy that's high. What if a person?
Could you imagine? Like, that'd be a great fucking. Yeah. Oh, that'd be unreal.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man. Like I said, I would love to be on one of those calls, though. Just
yeah, well, I think in Anchor you can do like
multiple people. I saw that.
Multiple people. Maybe we'll have to do that. We'll try and have. I'm gonna post some shit like that and say, hey, if anybody wants to talk to me and Jake, and we're just gonna ask questions.
Or you can have fucking do a few by yourself, and then you can say, in today's one, we're gonna have guest Jake Newton or whatever. Yeah. Do it first by yourself. See how it is. Or if you want me to be involved in the first one, it doesn't matter. But or that could be our thing, and we do that together. I don't know.
That'd be
but,
hilarious, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be
okay,
awesome.
Okay, we're gonna have to run with that. Let's see. I'm gonna ask you. I'll ask you two more. Let's see. What have you done today to make someone else's life better? That's a tough one to answer, because that's kind of like an actual action. Maybe the question should be, have you done anything today to make someone else's life better? And then maybe the second part of it could be, why not?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I don't know. I would just say having this conversation now is helping me, helping
that's
you.
A great idea.
And then not potentially, it will help somebody, but it's not out yet. So it would be more in the future.
Yeah, but that's a good answer, though.
Trying to think of who I had conversations with today. Yeah, I think, like I said, this. You think?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Ooh, this is a good one. What bad habits do you want to break? Or just say one bad habit that you would like to break.
Bad habit, come on.
Bite your nails?
Yeah, oh, boom.
Do you bite your nails?
Man.
Oh, me too, man. Brutal.
And I hate it too, because I don't have a nail file. And I then try and file them down with my freaking teeth. And
oh,
I can
got
never,
that, yeah.
And I can never get them perfect. And I always try, and like my test is if
starts I starts to bleed.
No, I'll like rub my finger, that nail that I just cut with my teeth, along my pants. And if I get like a prick, or if a part of the nail,
I know you mean.
What I'm saying? It's not smooth. Yep. So then I continue fucking doing it. And then my fingernails get so damn short. But they say it takes 21 days to break a habit, so it would take me at least.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah,
21 days to break a habit.
Yeah. So for those
dude, people, I don't think I can go 21 days without biting my nails. Try. My girlfriend gets on me all the time. 21 days of that.
Yeah, or 21 days of like not cracking my fingers.
Oh God, I do that too.
Popping my fingers, yeah.
Just all the time.
Oh, and they can
I'm not
pop
all the
so-
time, but yeah.
Yeah, so easily, man. I pop them all different types of ways too. Yeah, so maybe that. But actual bad, I don't, those aren't considered, maybe in my mind, bad habits. I certainly don't like that I do those things, but.
Yeah, I think I think those are considered bad habits, but a bad habit for me would be like negative thinking or like fearful thinking.
Yeah, fearful thinking. Yeah.
Oh, this is a great question. I got to ask you one more.
Yeah.
I just saw this one. Could you be persuaded to kill someone? If you answer no, how much would it take to change your mind?
Oh, fudge. Could I be persuaded? Yeah. Ooh, that's hard to say because... where I'm at mentally,
it's hard for me to judge people, but I do believe there are people that, I don't know. Ah, it's a hard one, man.
Yeah. I think if you would have asked me like a year ago, I probably would say yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably say I could be persuaded. But now the space that I'm in, the way that I think, I'm like, maybe there's a small part of me that would want that. But like me, no, I don't think I could do it.
I would say the only reason I could possibly say yes is, listen.
I agree. I know what you're going to say. Keep going.
If a person were to, say, kill somebody or rape somebody, something like that, and they received mental health, mental therapy to fix their pain, and then they went and did it again anyhow.
That's the only way, I think.
Yeah.
Self-defense. If it was like a to save someone else or to like save lives –
yeah,
I could do it, but like just out of for money or out of a cold blood or anything like that, couldn't do it.
Yeah, no,
couldn't do it. It takes a lot for me now. It takes a lot for me now to even want to go and like fight or go and like hit.
Yeah,
in games.
Like, it's hard for me to get mad,
dude. I like it's almost like counterproductive to like get enlightened or whatever in hockey because you're like. You start, you're like, oh my God, man. Like, all of a sudden, I don't really feel like I need to go out and compete brute strength with everybody anymore. I'm like, I just want to enjoy my life on the ice with you guys. What's up, bro? Like,
yeah, I know.
Oh, we got a game right now? Fuck.
Yeah.
Take the puck, man. I don't need it.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Like, when it comes to me and like preparing for a game, I literally, for the most part, do not think about the game until after warmups.
Yeah.
So, like, that's
a great strategy, though.
Yeah, I've been on the other side, and I just would go crazy, get so damn nervous. But sometimes I'm sitting there, like, you know, after a pregame meal or something, or I'm in bed getting ready to nap, and I'm thinking, holy fuck, I have a game tonight. And I'm just like, it's not even on my mind. Like, it's not even on my radar right now.
Yeah, but I think some of those times, some of those are your best games because you're not thinking about it. Those are my best games when I am like, I don't even feel like I need to pregame nap. I don't feel like I need to do anything during the day. I don't feel like I'm just like going. I'm like, all right, I got a game tonight. Let's do this shit.
Boom. Yeah, absolutely.
For me though, I can't like, if I don't, like I take probably 10 minutes right after we have like a meeting for like to go over the game and shit, I'll take like 10 minutes by myself to like mentally shift into like kind of like a beast mode, kind of like a Weapon X or whatever, Brian Dawkins.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, like I literally, because 24 hours a day for the most part, I am like this almost like overly loving, like care, like just like fun. Like I don't really care about competing and that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So I have to go and at least it worked for me towards the end of the year. Like I would go and take 10 minutes and just like completely shift into like a different persona and be like, this isn't you. Like I meditate and be like, this isn't me, but like I need to call upon like this energy and like this kind of character and like put this mask on and go out and get this shit done for 2 hours. And then when I'm done, like take it off and go home.
Boom. Yeah. Absolutely. Flipping the switch.
I would have, honestly, it's good that you said that. Cause there would be times where I'd actually go and listen to some shit like that, like some Greg Plitt or like some Eric Thomas and be like, all right, I need this for these 2 hours. And after these 2 hours, I'm going to put this costume away. I'm going to go back to being JT.
Boom.
Back to myself.
Love it. Love it, man.
All right, bro.
Yeah, we're
gonna... hour and 52 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty. I think that's solid, bud.
I think that's pretty fire.
Yeah,
I think we kind of crushed fire. It.
Yeah, I don't think, buddy. I know we crushed it.
Yeah, that's a
absolutely.
That was a great conversation, man. You're a good person to talk to. I honestly will. Well, aside from putting this out and stuff, I'm gonna try and figure out some more about doing that other thing and see if we can get some calls into some people.
Yeah.
Or like you said, I'll do one and have you on it or like whatever. We'll figure it out. But I think that'd be hilarious.
And thank you, my man, for having me. Pleasure speaking with you. Like always, you're the man. I love you. And to anybody listening, I hope there are many people listening and listening all the way through to hear this last message.
JT and I, we fucking love you guys. We hope 100%. We hope all the best for you guys in mental clarity and getting right and waking up and being aware and being conscious, and just know that you can do it and it is your choice. You just have to make that choice.
100% agree. Just so people know where to find you, what is your Instagram? What is your any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I only have Instagram, and it's Jake_Newton0610. And then
0610.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you are just JT Barnett @JT Barnett.
That's it.
Yeah. Fucking rights, people. Let's wake up, baby.
Oh man, it's great talking to you. Yep. I love you.
Love you, bud.
I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
And unreal, bro. All right, love you, man.
Love you, buddy. We'll see ya.
What up, guys? That was the episode with Jake Newton, my boy, my brother. I love talking to him. He's such a smart guy. He's got so much energy. He's hilarious. And even though we go really deep with that kind of stuff, I think there's a certain lightness to everything. Like, because I think that with life, you don't always want to be so deep. The depth is there when you need it, but we are just trying to have fun and enjoy and love. And live in that joyous kind of state. So that was my boy Jake. His Instagram, if you didn't get it, is @Jake_Newton, NEWTON0610. If you get a chance, follow him. Great dude, smart guy, so much positivity coming from him and just unreal energy. If you're listening to this on Anchor, feel free to send me a message, like a voice message. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, feel free to leave me a review. If you're listening to somewhere else, feel free to message me on Instagram and just say what up or tell me some ideas you got or anything. I love talking to people about this shit. I don't really have a plan. Like it's kind of just up in the air. So if you got ideas or something like that, you got somebody that wants to talk to me, let's do this. All right, I'm out. Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.